KnockoutKara.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite Knockout Kara.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to the Rocket Song.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girlfriend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like the new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Conversation when you tell me to go. Anyway, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your ever absent-minded host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-diligent producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm on top of the ball, and you're like, what conversation am I having now? What?
I scrolled up to get one of the news stories because I had forgotten that to put it in the sheet this afternoon, and then I had accidentally left it there, and I'm sitting here listening to music waiting, go, so you gonna tell me to go? And then I like actually looked at the conversation. I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably scroll down, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you might as well scroll down and know that it's time to go. We're live.
That's right. It is the WrestleMania Spectacular right here on The Rack. We have so much to get into tonight. Like I said, we have so much news that I'm even forgetting to add it to the show. We have NXT. We are going to, of course, talk about the Hall of Fame. We're going to tell you how to watch it on the network. And, of course, we have our WrestleMania preview and pick 'em along with Tweet of the Week. And, well, of course, the question of the night.
Which is, what is your favorite WrestleMania set?
Ooh.
So we'll get into that later on in the evening.
We will. Hopefully we got a lot of good answers.
Got a few good answers, yeah. We'll see.
Awesome. Well, then let's jump right into the news, brought to you, of course, by everybody over at PWMania.com. Check them out for all your news needs. And, well, we have a couple big lead stories, but I think we just better kill, you know, a couple fangirl and fanboys hopes and dreams right now, shall we?
Oh, we're starting there.
Okay. We're starting there. We're just going to start with that, because I don't want to talk about it.
All right, let's start there then.
Some of the biggest news, I should say, coming out this week is, in fact, that it has been confirmed. AJ Lee and CM Punk are engaged.
Wait. What?
Seems that AJ and Punk were at the airport in Tampa. They were flying to the show, or at least she was, and she made mention that this is the last time she was flying out of Tampa as she was moving. She also proceeded to show off her engagement ring to the fan, And, well, if you watched Raw and you noticed her hand on Raw, especially towards the end of the Divas match, you noticed she was wearing a ring. A very sparkly, pretty diamond engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
Which she's never worn that before, so she did have the ring at Raw. She was showing it off at Raw.
Yes, yes she was.
And then, I guess, the ring compounded with the fan story has, I guess, made it confirmed. AJ and Punk have made no official announcement, so again, take this with a grain of salt. But because rumors not being immediately denied, well...
leads one to speculate, hey, look, they're engaged. How about that?
Which kind of makes you wonder, maybe Punk isn't coming back after all because, well, he doesn't seem like the type of guy to get engaged and then come back out on the road.
No, he seems like he wants to settle down, as it were, because, well, his career is behind him. Unless you're one of the fans who are betting on WrestleMania, and then you can bet whether or not he's showing up. So somebody will make a lot of money whether he shows up or not.
Yes, yes, they will.
I find that ridiculous that you're betting whether a guy shows up or not. Especially,
you know what? You can bet on everything else. Why not bet on CM Punk? I mean, heck.
Do you really want to bet on CM Punk at this point?
You know people are doing it. You know they are.
Oh, I
like,
know.
People are still hoping and praying and crossing their fingers. And you know what? He could still show up. There's nothing to say that they can't or won't come to terms at some point. But it seems as of right now, they're not. So...
yeah.
But people are still holding out for the fact that Punk will return.
I know. Trust me, I know.
But, yeah, so... anyway, congratulations to AJ and Punk. It looks like it's a very nice ring.
Does look like a very nice ring. It really does. So congratulations to both, and hopefully, you know, it's a long and successful marriage.
Yes, absolutely.
But, Lindsay, you mentioned we don't know if CM Punk is going to be at WrestleMania. According to WWE.com, a stunning announcement was made tonight.
Was it Stone Cold Stunning?
Yes, it was Stone Cold Stunning, because Stone Cold Steve Austin will be appearing at WrestleMania.
Ooh!
The key phrasing in what they said will be attending WrestleMania.
Hmm.
So, what will the Rattlesnake do? Who knows? But he will be at the show of shows. So, Stone Cold Steve Austin will be there, and he'll be at the Hall of Fame as well. So, Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the rumored surprises for WrestleMania, is no longer a surprise. He's guaranteed.
And, you know, that's really smart to announce that he's going to be there, because that'll bring in some extra buys for people that want to see him. We don't know what capacity it'll be. I'm sure he'll make an appearance, probably in a backstage segment of some form. Honestly, I expect a lot of people to show up backstage.
He's going to win the Battle Royal. No.
He could.
He could. He won't. But, yeah. Stone Cold will be at WrestleMania, though. And yes, as Lindsay said, a lot of people are expected to appear in some fashion at WrestleMania. Names you can think of, and names you wouldn't even think.
Hey, you know what? Anybody and everybody was apparently contacted, and it all depends on who needs/wants a paycheck at this point.
Dangerous Danny Davis has been spotted at the WWE hotel.
Uh-oh.
Lanny Poffo has been spotted at the WWE hotel.
My goodness.
So, like I said, anything is possible.
And as we know, Michelle McCool got her hair did. She's back to blonde.
She's flawless.
So, could we see, you know, an appearance by Miss McTaker?
We possibly could see Miss McTaker at WrestleMania. That is quite possible. Miss McTaker. Wow. Really? That's the name now? Miss McTaker? Okay.
Well, I'm not going to use the derogatory name on the air.
Hey, look, it's Virgil. Oh, wait, no. Never mind.
Anyway, speaking of WrestleMania, you have a whole cornucopia of stuff to check about WrestleMania, and, you know, as far as in conjunction with WrestleMania, if you watch the network today, they did their first episode of WrestleMania Today live from Access, where it was the main panel that usually does the pre-show and the backstage pass.
It was it was Josh Matthews, Booker T, Alex Riley, and Jason Albert.
Yes, with guest appearances from Michael Cole and JBL, who were tremendous. The Outlaws.
Okay.
R-Truth.
Hold on. All right. We're stopping right here.
We're stopping right here?
Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Oh, my God. They picked on Josh. Like, Road Dogg was really serious, and he was taking offense to all the questions Matthews was throwing at him. And then Billy was throwing in one line. It's like, huh? Like, Billy was so straight, and it was like, yeah. It was tremendous.
It was awesome. It was amazing. And they're doing that all weekend, so they're going to have an episode tomorrow as well. They're going to have an episode on Saturday. And I'm not sure if they're having one on Sunday or not.
No. Well, they can't. It's going to be three episodes, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, for 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. So tomorrow it will lead into SmackDown, and then on Saturday, it will lead into the red carpet and into the Hall of Fame.
Right. Fair enough. But yeah. So, but what's nice is, you know, they're doing expert analysis. They're talking about all the matches. You're getting to see Access as it's happening, which is really cool. I would suspect that when Access is in full swing tomorrow, we'll get shots from the actual event of the cameras roaming around and that kind of thing. So that would be cool to see. They interviewed fans outside, and so some people got on the network.
Yes,
it is. It's a really cool thing to see.
And they did two really nice features on WrestleMania today. One with the Shield, which is a three-part interview sort of setup, where you get to see a different laid-back side of the Shield in a promo form. It was really, really good. And the other interesting one was the Batista interview. It was like the best Batista interview since he's been back. That some of that stuff needs to be on actual television, because that would have sold the match so much more. He even, like, he took shots at WWE bringing him back in Dayton, Ohio. He was confused by that. It's like,
right,
why there? But he was really good in that. It was like, now that's the Batista I remember.
Yeah, and it was a great interview, very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to them doing more stuff like that, because, yeah, it's like they did a really good Paul Heyman kind of promo where he was talking about the streak and talking about The Undertaker and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, why wasn't that promo on TV?
Well, it was on TV, the WWE Network.
But it should have been on Raw and SmackDown. It's like, that would have helped to have sold that match so much more. It's like, they're doing a lot of stuff on the network that you don't necessarily get to see on Raw and SmackDown, obviously.
Yeah.
And a lot of it really should be on their main shows, because it's something of, it would help to sell things.
It would, and they're nice long features. I would assume a couple of them may appear on SmackDown tomorrow, because there's only a couple of matches taped for that program. But yeah, they're long, nice features, and I would be okay when they'd come in the summer and do this live daily show. I'd expect more features like that, and they're really good.
Oh, absolutely. And then on top of that, because they're doing WrestleMania today, they're doing, you know, they have a WWE app. They apparently have a beta WrestleMania app. They're having a WWE Takes Over Go NOLA app.
Yeah, there's a WrestleMania app where for those in New Orleans where you can go see what's going on. They'll tell you where something's happening, and you can go see it.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, same thing with the Go NOLA app, that you can, you know, they're taking, you can go around the city, and they're going to tell you what are good places to go in the city. So that's cool.
They're definitely stepping up their social media game. They're trying to get the fans involved, because yeah, that was the one thing that when I went, I wished that had been around. Even though I'm from Atlanta and I know Atlanta and I know there's stuff to do, it's like, it's really kind of confusing as far as some of the WWE stuff.
Right.
Because you don't know when everything's going on. It's like, you know, I think I've told you in private before, we had a really hard time getting tickets to Access.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that we just eventually had to roll up to Access and just get tickets there. Because we were told, oh, you can buy them at Ticketmaster.com, and you can buy them in the stores, and you couldn't find them.
Right.
So it was like, that's cool that they're, you know, they've created an app for this. They're working with the city of New Orleans to try and, you know, help drive the tourism in New Orleans and also get information out to people that need the information.
Right. And you talk about social media. They have a whole bunch of social media ambassadors for WrestleMania week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, they have people like Ellen, Maroon 5, Conan O'Brien, who's in Dallas right now doing shows, Drew Brees, Katie Kirk, Sarah Silverman, Mike Tyson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, DJ Polly D, Kevin James, Chelsea Handler, Marlon Wayans, Alice Cooper, Allison Sweeney, Terry Crews, Sean Marion, Gabriel Iglesias, Judah Freelander, Shane West, Chili, and Flo Rida, who we came into earlier in the program.
So, pretty cool. And then, of course, they've also revamped WrestleMania.com, which you can go check out. And they've done a really nice job with it, where they have a ton of information on there as well. So, yes, WWE is stepping up their game for WrestleMania 30. You can go check all of that out. And, of course, keep your eyes tuned to the network, because you never know what's going to pop up.
Right. And plus, if you're in New Orleans and you don't have a ticket, they're going to be giving away, they're having hide and tweet contests. So follow them on Twitter at WWE. And you can actually win some tickets just by showing up someplace.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So, yeah. The WWE Network, they held the press conference on the WWE Network, which was really cool. They're doing a lot of things. And the Hall of Fame's going to be on there. The two-hour pregame is going to be on there. 1 hour, everyone gets to see at 5 o'clock online, but at 6 o'clock when the action starts with the tag title match, it's going to be on the network, so make sure you get your network, because it's going to, it's the only place you can see it, really.
Yeah, and this is, again, another shameless shill for the network, where it is totally worth the money. Trust me on that. It is completely worth the money, 100%.
Oh, it is. We watched Best of Raw last night. We watched Shawn Michaels come down from the rafters as The Undertaker. It's like cool reliving those moments. We watched the Triple H WrestleMania rewind, which was fun to see as well.
Thugtaker.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you don't have the WWE Network, you can go to WWE.com or network.wwe.com and you can sign up for it. It is $10 a month. It is a 6-month commitment, and there is no more free trial, sadly, but it is $10, and, you know, at least to me, it's worth the $10 to get the pay-per-view stream every month.
And you knock on wood, it works Sunday.
It should work. I'm hoping it works.
I'm hoping.
I haven't had too many problems with it, so.
No, today was better. A lot of skipping, I guess, is the best way. Not buffering, just like skipping a little bit, a little hesitations. But the live stream is sort of kind of straining stuff out on the Xbox. It's been fine on the computer and other devices, but the Xbox getting better a little bit.
Yeah, for those of you that are having issues, it seems like they've been working on it all week. I would suspect that they continue to work on it up until Sunday to straighten out all the bugs to make sure it is available on all platforms, because that is what was promised, was that it would be available on all these different platforms, and I know people have been having issues, especially Xbox users. So just, you know, be patient with it. And just kind of, you know, it seems like it's straightening itself out.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully. But speaking of, I guess, straightening things out, it seems that there was, well, a little incident at Raw this week.
The rapper Wale punched a fan in the face while who was heckling him at Raw on Monday. John, we have names like John, who was at ringside, told TMZ that Wale was sitting behind the announce table and a fan started taunting him. Murray said that Wale got up out of his chair and punched the fan in the face. Security rushed in to break up the fight and took both men into the hallway. Both ended up going back to their seats when it was over. But yeah, we have rappers punching fans. That's never good.
Yeah, don't. You know, I don't care who you are. Don't call back and punch somebody in the face. You know, I know we all want to sometimes. Like, trust me, I've been there more than once. But, yeah, it's don't do that. That's just stupid.
That's not kosher, yo.
that's totally not kosher. So just, you know, go to Raw, have fun, and play nice with each other, please. Please, let's not be jerks about this, okay?
This is your public service announcement from the Rack. Go to Raw and be nice, okay? Cool.
Well, it's just, it's that environment where it's like you go and it's just, if you've got people hauling off and punching each other in the face or other stuff happening, it's not as fun.
No, it's not.
Like, it kind of kills the mood. You know, at least to me, I go to have fun, so don't kill the fun.
Exactly.
And speaking of fun, I think Ric Flair might have some fun, as he and WWE have agreed to, for him to do, I should say, a second autobiography.
Yeah, he's going to be writing a new autobiography, which should be interesting, to say the least. Because, you know, it's Ric Flair, and he has stories, and he'll probably get in detail about his retirement and possibly comeback. You never know. So it should be interesting. So look for that probably in 2015.
Be interesting to see if he talks about places he went.
Yeah, and like Australia to wrestle Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. So be interesting to see what makes the book. But also, speaking of fun, WWE has announced that they are going to be launching a WWE Monopoly.
Oh my god. WWE Monopoly. It exists, y'all. It exists.
May have to get this.
I believe John Cena was Boardwalk. I think that's what it was on the board.
Let's see. Possibly.
I think
John Cena is Boardwalk. And then The Rock is Park Place. You have Punk Hunter and Taker in the green.
You have WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the Royal Rumble as the railroads. But AJ is Mediterranean. You know, the cheapest property on the board.
That's a shot.
Well, she does get around. Yeah, so, and Vince McMahon's face is on the money.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's kind of awesome. I kind of need this.
I kind of need this, too, yeah. So, anyone want to buy it for me, please? You can.
It's $40, and it's supposed to be released this week.
I like Monopoly, and they have a WWE version. That's kind of awesome.
I may have to.
The pieces are like a ladder, the logo, a microphone, a boot, a title belt, and the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I want to be the briefcase! Dibs!
Dibs.
Total dibs.
Dibs. Alright, I'll be the belt.
Dibs.
Totally be the belt.
Alright.
There you go.
Well, I guess speaking of dibs, because I don't know, I've got no transition for this. Another little tidbit coming out that's kind of interesting is, well, Rey Mysterio's contract is set to expire later this month.
Yeah, it is. He hasn't signed a new deal, but they're looking at something where he limits his wrestling dates and becomes sort of a brand ambassador for the Latin America area, which is sort of what he's been doing as of late. Anyway, he's been going to foreign Spanish America language countries and promoting the product and doing his limited wrestling appearances like we saw on Monday night. That's the perfect thing right now. Rey is no longer a full-time wrestler. His body just can't handle it. So this is the perfect way to keep him around and in the countries where he's really popular, really promote WWE. It's the perfect, perfect thing for him.
I agree. I completely agree. You know, it's something of, you don't want to lose Rey, you don't want to see Rey retire, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to see him really try and go in the ring anymore, because as you can tell in the last few matches he's had, he's not the Rey Mysterio he once was. And so every time he gets injured, he comes back, and it's not the same. So it's nice to see that they're trying to limit him and put him more on a feature performer type basis and still use him as a brand ambassador, because he really is very good at that.
Yes. he's good at selling the product, and they need a lot of that.
Yeah, so, you know, if that's what he's good at, take full advantage of it.
Exactly.
So, 100% applaud that and agree with it, and I hope that they do that for other people who are now bathed in bluish-purple light on my TV at the moment.
But what country would you send that guy to?
Transylvania.
Transylvania. Okay.
Hey, you asked.
Coming soon to parts unknown. Anyway.
Hey. He could.
He could.
Anyway, one last little tidbit before we head to break for the first time tonight. It has been announced that Jeff Jarrett and his secret project are set to make a major announcement on Monday, the day after WrestleMania. So April 7th, look for big news to come from Jeff Jarrett.
Could he possibly... Go ahead.
And speculation is running rampant.
There are rumors that he could have some deals with Major League Baseball, NASCAR. You never know in terms of marketing. So the Chosen One is really, really working hard. So he's been scouting talent. So that could only mean one thing. Dancing with the Wrestlers coming this Monday.
I would pay to see this, but I'm a dork like that.
I know you would. That's why I pitched that one idea. Oh, God. Can you imagine The Undertaker doing a dance?
Yes, and it's hilarious.
Can his hips move?
Well, kind of.
Kind of.
Just imagine Bray Wyatt doing a tango.
There's your visual for the night, ladies and gentlemen. Bray Wyatt doing the tango.
Because, you know, then he can mount somebody at the end and he'll be happy.
There you go.
And on that note, we're going to take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact and what happened with your favorite NXT superstars. So...
Wait, what?
Did I say Impact?
Yes, you said Impact.
I'm so sorry, I meant NXT. You see, I'm just like, I go on autopilot when I do this because I'm used to us doing Impact. So... We were just talking about Jeff Jarrett, so I'm so sorry. See? Clueless host tonight. So we're going to be talking about NXT and everything that happened tonight on the show. Again, so sorry. So tune into The Rack. You're listening to it right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me...
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Producer's the right. Show.
Shut up. For the trunk route parts.
Why does Rob Parrish do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
I'm Rob. here. Godfather Trade Bird. Whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So, you're telling me that your performance in WrestleMania will get women excited?
I think they'll have an okay time.
How do you know?
How do I know? I just know.
Because they'll...
Yeah, because they'll...
How do you know they're really...
What are you saying? That they're faking their excitement?
It's possible.
No, not when I'm in there.
Explain to me what you'll do. How will you do it?
Well, first I'll put on my gold medals. You okay?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, then my entrance music will hit. Da-da. Da-da. And then I do my patented hopping spin. Woo!
Tell me about the moves.
Well, then there's the angle slam, which I can do multiple times. Four or five times in a row, even. And then I finish him off with the ankle lock. Twisting and cranking and twisting and cranking. Cranking and twisting and cranking and twisting. And cranking and twisting. And my God.
Yes!
And I'll make him tap out. Just tap out. Tap, 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 tap. Who's your daddy?
You are!
Oh, you're damn right. Tap, tap.
Yes!
Tap, baby. Tap, 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 tap. Tap. Tap.
Can you please pass the salt?
Certainly.
Thanks.
WrestleMania goes Hollywood.
I'll have what she's having.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And, well, this week we're doing something a little different because, well, even I kind of went on autopilot. Normally, this is where we would talk to you about Impact, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. But this is, of course, our WrestleMania spectacular, so we're going to take a break from Impact this week. So, sorry to everybody who tunes in for that, but we're just going to head straight into NXT because, well, we still got a lot to talk about later in the show.
Yes, we do. Did you like the commercial we came back with?
Yeah. I love how he tells me, oh, yeah, by the way, we have a special commercial as it's airing. You know, because he can't tell me these things before the show.
I forgot to tell you before the show. Sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
I gave you a heads up. Like, yeah, 10 seconds before it aired. Still, heads up nonetheless.
Right. Anyway, moving on. We're just going to dive right into tonight's exciting NXT, and it opened with the Emma taking on the boss, Sasha Banks.
With Charlotte in her corner and stick figure, Summer, who they thought...
Just call her what she is. It's Summer on a stick.
Summer on a stick. And since she's on a stick, does she melt away in the summer?
Well, since she is summer, I don't think so.
Okay. Apparently her body's trapped in the stick or something. I don't know. They said something during it.
I just love that they just, you know, walk around with this, like, this cheap little stick figure. It's hilarious.
It's tremendous. Like, she's busy, going to be filming a movie, and, you know, so they carry her around. They keep her around in the spirit. So, yeah, we had Emma and Sasha. Emma wasn't taking the match too seriously early on. She was sort of mocking Sasha a little bit. Sasha was then able to take a little bit of control over Emma, kicking and slapping her around the ring a little bit. And, well, the real hidden gem of this whole thing was Renee and Regal's flirting again.
I need more of this on my TV.
Like, at one point he went... Oh, hello!
He's sitting there dancing to Emma's theme as the show's opening, and Renee's, you know, like, hi, William! And he's like, oh, hello there! Mm-hmm. As he's dancing, and they start dancing together. I need more of this interaction in my life.
Oh, it is tremendous. They have a great time together on commentary. Speaking of hidden gems, Regal actually believes Sasha Banks is a hidden gem in the coming years for NXT and WWE.
Which I would believe that.
You know, she can improve over the years, and yeah, she could be a really nice hidden gem for the company. Emma was able to make her comebacks with the splash in the corner and the tarantula move that she does on the rope. I don't know what they actually call it. It begins with Emma.
But it's the imitation or something like that?
Something to that effect. But she was able to come back and win with the Emma lock, making Sasha Banks tap out. Good match.
The dilemma. That's what's called, the dilemma.
Dilemma? Okay. I have a new goal, apparently. Well, you never know.
No goal?
If you read the chat room, we have a new goal, or I have a new goal, apparently.
No. Taker and Bray first. Then Renee.
One's actually anyway.
I don't want to interview a professional interviewer, because she'll think I'm an idiot.
Anyway. So
I know everybody else thinks I'm an idiot, but I don't want her thinking I'm an idiot.
No one thinks you're an idiot.
I would beg to differ on that. But anyway, Emma picks up the victory as she makes Sasha Banks tap out.
Yes.
After the match, Charlotte tries to attack Emma, but Emma, you know, scurries away. We then get a nice Mojo Rawley promo saying that he will be on next week's show.
Yeah, it was another hype video for the man who needs no hype, Mojo Rawley.
Like, does he just wake up like that?
Apparently. He's always hyper.
Maybe he should see a doctor about that?
He may need to do that.
Yeah. Just, you know, I don't think that's healthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of not healthy, up next, you have the Ascension, Victor and Connor, taking on Johnny Vandal and Jack Hurley in a non-title match.
I have one word for the notes for this match. Huh. Domination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only note I took for that match. Domination. Once again, the Ascension dominate Burley and Vandal. Their competition, they just continue to dominate. I want to see them in real action. Get them a real team. Damn it. Not too cool. Get them a real team in there. You know, the Shield or the, you know, Wyatt family.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as I was watching the match. Just, like, it's nice to see them be dominant, because that's obviously what they're good at. But I would like to actually see them get some real competition. I think they have some real tag teams in NXT. I'm not sure, though. So, you know, even if you have to bring somebody in, like you said, the Wyatts or the Shield or even someone like Rybacksel, just to get somebody down there that could provide them with some real competition, I would be curious to see how they do.
You know, they need to have a real competitive match, is what I'm looking for. They had a competitive one with Too Cool, but it really was, like, but you want to see, like, a really long, something that will sink you into the match, like, something you will, like, lose yourself into the match, that investment into it. Like you do with the six mans, with the Shield and stuff on Raw. Like, it gets you fully invested into the match.
Wait, what do you mean, Kickens? I've had my chances, and now I have to give the crowd what you want. You know what? No! Do you know who runs the show? We are the authority, damn it. We don't have to listen to you about that. We will give you who we give you, and you will like it.
Because it's best for business.
Hashtag authority movement. I don't know why I had to do it. I just had to. I'm in a mood tonight. Deal with it, y'all.
That was tremendous. Bravo.
Thank you.
The rock movement.
The rock movement.
There you go.
Tweet it out. But yeah, anyway, Connor and Victory pick up a really easy victory. And yeah, this is just, again, it's cool to see them. It's a cool gimmick. I like the presentation of it. They look just completely legit badass. Like, Victor looked ready to just eat somebody tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something of, I want to see more of that, but I want to see them do it with real competition. Like, I would actually really love to see them get in there with the Shield and see what they could do, to get in there with the Wyatt family and see what they could do.
Or even the Usos.
You know, somebody, the Usos, the Matadors, the New Age Outlaws, you know, whoever, just actually get them somebody, if you don't have anybody from NXT, from the main roster and bring them down there and have them work with them. Because, one, it could help the Ascension tremendously, not that they seem to need a lot of help, but it would provide for a really entertaining match instead of just, you know, finding them jobbers. And I think eventually we'll get that with them. It's just they have to build that credible tag team to face them, which they haven't done, at least on TV yet.
Right.
Anyway, we come back and we're informed that Tyler Breeze has entered the building.
Woohoo!
And, well, apparently this is still going on. It's still a thing. I had no idea. But Xavier Woods took on Brodus Clay.
They found Brodus Clay.
Well, knew where he was. He's on the house show circuit.
He found his way back to television, everybody. Brodus Clay is back.
And apparently this was a battle of the right to use this music match.
Was it?
I don't know. That's what I have in the notes. But yeah, it was a solid contest. They went back and forth in the end.
Brodus had it early. Woods tried to make comebacks, but always got cut off by Brodus Clay. There was a powerbomb and then a big splash from the middle rope by Brodus for the W.
So Brodus looks dominant. He picks up the victory. And, well, after the match, he took the mic.
Yes, he did. And basically said, WWE took everything from me. And then basically sent a message to Neville that he's coming for the NXT championship.
Well, no, you got to get it right. You know, they took his music. They took his girls and his tag team partner. And they put him in a suit. Worst of all, you took his dignity and pride.
I didn't know they could take that.
Apparently they can.
I didn't know those were physical objects, but apparently so.
See Katie Vick. Okay?
Wait. What is Brodus Clay doing with Katie Vick? This is not...
Brodus Clay's not doing anything with Katie Vick, but if you want to see taking somebody's dignity and pride from them, look at the Katie Vick angle, and that explains everything. Okay?
Okay. But you brought up Katie Vick, and... You know.
Well, you know, she's Bray Wyatt's mama.
She is Bray Wyatt's mama.
I am convinced of this until somebody tells me different. Kane and Katie Vick are Bray Wyatt's parents.
Yes. At least we're not bringing up horses with no legs. Anyway.
Basically, Brodus is going to take things now, and that's when he challenged Neville for the championship. We then go backstage with Adrian Neville. You know, Devon Taylor congratulates him on his victory last week, and Adrian says thank you, and he says that he wants to talk about Brodus. And, well, basically, Adrian doesn't appreciate Brodus coming down here because, well, he's not getting a chance on Raw and SmackDown, so he thinks he can just, you know, waltz on into NXT and take the title.
You got to earn things in NXT. You aren't giving them. Like,
exactly.
Like, Sam, Bo earned the title, Seth Rollins earned the title, Big E earned the title, he earned the title. So you want it, you gotta earn it.
Exactly, but Adrian says that he is the fighting champion after all, and if Brodus earns the opportunity, he'll be here. And then we see Tyler Breeze getting ready. And then what we get? Prince Pretty himself, Tyler Breeze, taking on Yoshitatsu.
Breeze controlled early in the matchup. He was, you know, grinded away with headlock, and then Tatsu tried to make a comeback, but Breeze just kept hammering and hammering him down with hard shots, chops to the chest, and then he connected with the beauty shot for the victory.
One thing that I like, and I have to agree with the announcers on this, is when we first saw Tyler Breeze, he was very hesitant about getting in the ring. He didn't want anybody to hit him in the face. And now we're seeing that evolution of Tyler Breeze, where he doesn't really care if he gets hit in the face now. We're seeing a much more aggressive side of him, which I honestly like.
Oh, I agree. It's good to see the aggressive side of Tyler Breeze, because he has something. I'm not sure how much of something he has, but he has something, and it could develop into something really good.
I like the gimmick. Mm-hmm. It's very eye-catching. The entrance is nice. The gear is nice. You know, the idea of him coming out with the camera and taking the selfies and that kind of stuff keys into pop culture tremendously. It kind of almost harkens back a little bit to Dash and Cody Rhodes.
A little bit.
I think in this case, though, it works better.
Yes, it does. Because you're not looking at a fake mirror, you're actually looking into a camera.
Right. So, you know, I think he's got something with it, I just don't know what he has.
Right, and we're seeing an evolution of him, and that's cool to see.
Exactly, so, definitely cool. Good match, though.
Good match, yes.
After this, we basically get a reminder of what happened to Sami Zayn 2 weeks ago, and we mentioned that Sami was diagnosed with a concussion, but he's fine now after taking an impact test, and he has been cleared to wrestle. We then go back to Sami and Devon Taylor, and she asked him about the match tonight, and he says he's fine, he's a little distracted, you know, but he got his bell rung, and the doctors have cleared him. Physically, he's okay. And basically the one person that has to worry about things tonight is Corey Graves. We then cut elsewhere backstage where Corey is asked about Sami Zayn. And he calls Sami NXT's resident underdog. And, well, once upon a time, there was a little dog that got caught in a trap. He struggled to get out until the wolves showed up.
Okay.
And he's apparently the wolf.
Apparently. I was confused.
We'll talk more about Corey Graves in a minute.
Yes, we will. But up next after that was a nice hype video for Paige. Oh, that was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
They did a fantastic job hyping her up and her championship victory over Emma at Arrival, which is cool. Very nice job. It was very well done.
And she did an equally nice interview after the hype video where Paige was talking about Charlotte and whether she was a threat. Paige says that she knew people would get in her face because she is the champion, but basically she's pissed because Charlotte and Rick would not let her have her moment at Arrival, And, well, she's not going to stand for that. So Paige tells Charlotte that if she wants to come at her, then she needs to stop hiding behind her daddy and come on her own.
Ooh, taking shots. I like it. Paige, well done. I like the first real promo we've seen from Paige in the last few weeks. I like that.
Yeah, this is good. Paige, this is really good. I actually applauded that.
Paige has some talent. You can see it. And you can see why people are very high on her. Because I haven't seen much of her, but that was well done. I liked it.
I'm curious to see her come up now and see how she would fit in, because she would make a very, very, very nice addition to the roster. A very nice addition.
Yes, she would.
But after this, we get our main event of the evening, which is Sami Zayn versus Corey Graves.
Okay, all right. So, let's go through. Graves basically wasn't really feeling the match early. He just sort of stood in the corner for a while, got under, backed away under the ropes, just was very much getting under the skin of Sami Zayn. Once he was able to get into the ring, when Sami got him in the ring, Sami sort of dominated him early on the matchup. Sami even took a big dive, a flip dive over the top rope onto the outside on top of Corey Graves. But after the dive, Graves sort of took control a little bit. And then, he had the control of the match. Sami tried some comebacks. Graves would always put a stop to it. And then Regal started to notice that Sami seemed a little off. See, he wasn't himself, and they were really playing that up on commentary that he could have really re-injured himself with another concussion. And then there was the moment where, Sami tries to go to the top rope and just, was very dazed and staggered and had to come off the top rope. He tried to fight back but got taken down, and then Corey Graves put on the Lucky 13 and the referee stopped the match right there. The announcers were telling them that they should have stopped the match sooner, but that's when the referee finally did. Now let's get into Corey Graves, shall we? So Corey Graves wins by ref stoppage.
I like Corey Graves. Don't get me wrong. I do. I like Corey Graves. I can see something in him, but there's something about him that just isn't quite there, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just that little, the X factor is missing. It's like he's got a great look, he's good in the ring, and there's the potential for something there. Like, you can see it, but it's like there's just, I don't know, I can't connect to him, and there's just kind of this, you're waiting for him to do something else. Because it's like I follow him on Twitter, and if you watch him on Twitter, he's hilarious on Twitter. No, he's just a sarcastic asshole.
Right.
And so it's like none of that is really, at least from what I've seen, coming across on TV. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to play it a lot darker than what he's been doing. I don't know, though.
Right.
But it's just, to me, it's like, just something seems off. I don't know. What about you?
I don't know. It's like something, like I told you, I was watching it. He wrestles a style that sort of doesn't fit, him. He's like a submission guy. He's a submission guy, but it just doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't seem. Doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Something's missing. I'm not connecting to him. Like, he has a sort of a look, but it's a look as someone else has had in the past, and it's just. I don't know. Maybe he might need to change his look a little bit if he's gonna wrestle this darker style. The punk rock look doesn't work with what he's trying. Like, he's trying to be two different things.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, like I said, it's I can see it, but I'm not feeling it.
Right.
And it's really, really difficult to connect to him.
It is.
Like, it almost feels like he's overdoing it and he's trying too hard with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really kind of natural about it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's the way I kind of feel about it. Because, like, you look at the direct contrast to Sami Zayn, and he's just being himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he's being himself, and it's very organic, and it's just, it's easy to connect to. And obviously he's the good guy, and it's hard to connect to Graves because he is a heel, but if anybody knows me longer than 5 seconds, you know I usually don't have a problem connecting to heels. I actually like them more than I like faces.
True story.
True story. I cheer for heels. That's the way it works. So yeah, so it's, for me, it's just like I look at him and it's like I can see it and I really want to like him, but it's just like...
Not yet.
Not yet. And maybe I just need to see more of him. I don't know, but yeah. But as far as the match goes, the match was really good. I really liked the selling from Sammy, especially towards the end of the match where they kept selling the head injury. They kept, you know, saying, oh, they need to stop the match. They need to stop the match. You know, he's got a head injury.
Yeah, they told
him to stop the match.
They told a nice story in the match, yes. That yeah. I will say.
And them coming back afterwards. You know, and, well, we'll get more of this because Sammy's going to want revenge, especially for what Corey did to him.
Mm-hmm. So the feud continues.
Boom, boom, boom.
So there you go. It's another fun show.
A very fun show. Again, I wish I had more time. And that's, I think, the complaint we're just going to have every time.
But I like that they gave the main event some time. So at least they're doing that. They're giving the main event a little bit of time.
Yes. I would agree with that.
So there you go.
And speaking of time, I think it's time that we take our second break of the evening.
I agree.
So, when we come back... We're going to have Tweet of the Week, which I would bet Rock has about 50 tweets.
It's not 50. All right, I learned my lesson. I was never told I can no longer have 50 tweets. I don't think I ever got to 50. I got close.
You're really close. 50 is your cutoff, though.
50 is my cutoff. But I've been good. I've been good.
Yes, you will have no more than 20.
Probably.
Anyway.
I don't
we
know.
We have Tweet of the Week. We're going to be talking about the Hall of Fame, and of course, we've got our WrestleMania preview of a pick'em, and also our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite WrestleMania set? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. You know your days are numbered. Count them one by one. Like notches in the handle of an outlaw's gun. You can outrun the devil if you try, but you will never outrun.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com. Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling.
created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burr, Hulk Hogan, and TNA knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots? Or was it only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I kind of lost track myself. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, it would blow your head clean off. You have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Just say.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tell me where to go, tell me what to do. I'll be right there for you. Tell me what to say, no matter if it's true. I'll say it all for you, for you.
I used to be the type of kid that would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I a Martian? What kind of twisted experiment am I involved in? Cause I don't belong in this world. That's why I'm scoffing at authority, defiant often. Flying off at the handle at my mom, no dad. So I am non-compliant at home. At school, I'm just shying awkward. And I don't need no psychologist trying to diagnose why I have all these underlying problems, thinking he can try and solve them. I'm outside chalking up drawings on the sidewalk and in the front drive talking to myself. Either that or inside hiding off in the corner somewhere quiet, trying not to be noticed because I'm crying and sobbing.
And
I had a bad day at school,
right,
so
here.
I ain't
talking. WildTalkRadio.com, first by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I want the outtakes from the Taker Dirty Harry commercial. I want them. I know they exist. I kind of need them in my life. Sadly, yeah. I will never see them though.
No, no.
Unless he releases another DVD and they put them on there, which I hope to God they do, because that commercial of sitting here snickering the whole time. Because if you could imagine it, picture The Undertaker in a suit and a sweater vest. Yes. A cardinal red sweater vest with this horrible blonde wig.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the Dirty Harry dialogue.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
It is.
And the laugh after, you know, the clip is empty. Yeah, that just, yeah. Damn you, you bastard. Anyway. Speaking of damning, I guess, let's do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, Renee Young. Chicken fingers are the answer. And somebody tweets her and asks her, you know, when are you going to be a hashtag total diva? To which she responds, when I stop ordering chicken fingers to my hotel room, maybe.
Right.
Scott M. Fishman, breaking! JTG to be a surprise entrant in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Early April Fools. Hashtag WWE. Hashtag Raw. Luke Harper, it's a beautiful what? Fear.
Wait, wait, wait. He actually tweeted?
He did. He did.
Wow.
Oh, hey, look, it's my tweet on a WWE inbox to Paul Heyman. How about that?
She was on the network, y'all. She's
kind of awesome.
She's made the network.
Couple times now.
Couple times now.
Renee Young again. I'm in New Orleans with a buttload of mustard all over my shirt. Bray Wyatt. Louisiana is my home. Nobody takes from me in my home. Sharpen your sticks or run.
Oh my god, it's big time. He's tweeting.
The only one that didn't tweet was Rowan. He's still apparently driving north. Corey Graves. Been off the plane for an hour and haven't seen a single person that even looks like Papa Shango. Nola, do better. Hashtag access.
There you go.
And that's all I got.
All right. Good news from not Bill Walton. Good news. Miguel Cabrera signed a 10-year, $292 million contract with the Tigers. Bad news. He has to live in Detroit for 6 months a year. Ouch. AJ Lee. I want to set every woman's clothing store ablaze until there's only Target. Rockstar Spud. There is nothing in Iowa. Is that true? Is there anything in Iowa?
I don't know. I've never been to Iowa, so I would assume it. If it's a lot like Wyoming, then yes.
There you go. Billy Ray. Oh no, they killed Rockstar Spud, you bastards! And he responds, or that was a quote, and he responds, have a nice day at TNA Dixie, XOXO, me and Samoa Joe. Because then it follows up with a picture of them standing over a fallen Rockstar Spud as he went through a table. Poor Spud.
Poor Spud.
Dolph Ziggler, I don't talk trash because I live where a team plays. I talk trash about how good I am at my job. Just kidding. Go Indians. Pittsburgh sucks. Sharkboy, accidentally signed up for Obamacare instead of WWE Network. Now I can't afford to get sick when they screw Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Nice.
Not SportsCenter. Breaking, DeSean Jackson has reached a 4-year deal to join the Yakuza. DeSean, I love the Crips, but I felt like it was a time for a change. Dusty Rhodes, I don't get it. When I tweet, no one tweets at me. This tweet shit. Why? Not, Betty freaking White. Long story short, we met on eHarmony. On eHarmony. Hashtag, how I met your mother finale. Someone... Mark Marone tweets, AJ Lee seems to be engaged. I am gay now. Hashtag raw. J. Joan Rivers. Mila Kunis is pregnant with Ashton Kutcher's child, and Demi Moore is thrilled. And if it's a boy, Demi will be able to date him in 14 years.
Ouch.
The fake John Madden. Report Vince Young left saddened by 7 April Fool's Day prank calls from NFL teams offering him a job. Ouch. This is now for the hashtag failed apps. Who are we kidding? This is for dick pics. John Candy crushes you. Hashtag failed apps. Boner. Failed apps by Will Wheaton. Kinkton. Wait, that's actually a really good idea. Kinkton. Trademark. Just a tip calculator. Angry nerds. Google Plus. That one probably hits home with many people. Google. Solitaire with friends. Ho Finder. Those were your hashtag failed apps. They all sound like failures.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking from Not Sports Center. Breaking. MLB has informed the Yankees that for losing to the Astros twice in a row, they will be demoted to Double A for the rest of the season. Someone tweeted Triple H, "Where do you keep your shovel?" He goes, "Under my mattress, just next to my big bag of gold."
Oh, Hunter, you amazing smartass, you.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Daniels. Breaking news, bad influence in talks to take over David Letterman's retirement. Late night with bad influence in 2015. Hashtag must see TV.
Yes!
If you haven't heard, David Letterman is actually retiring in 2015. And finally, the ODB. Brooke Testmacher tweeted, "I like beards, ... at Showtime EY, hashtag Impact Live, hashtag Brooke Slays." And she, ODB responded, "Hey, easy there, hashtag Hooters, I might have to bam your ass." That's Tweet of the Week. And to answer King Ken's, more crazy and unrealistic fans, people saying Daniel Bryan have to win at WrestleMania, or How I Met Your Mother fans. Oh, man, the How I Met Your Mother fans have gone crazy this week. Oh, my God, they killed the show. How dare they?
Well, it's not even that they killed the show. They killed the mother.
Yeah, well, I was trying to go spoiler-free.
Oh, come on! Everybody knows what happened by now. If you don't know that happened, I mean, for God's sakes, it was on Yahoo.
God, Lindsay. Jesus.
Spoiler alert!
God.
It's not a spoiler if it's already aired.
Well, no. Overseas, that episode doesn't air until July.
It's been all over the internet since it aired here in the States.
Doesn't matter. Somewhere, someone hasn't seen it.
And if they're listening to this show, I pity them. But, yeah. Y'all, chill out. Chill out.
A little bit. Chill out, yeah.
But anyway, alright, so that was Tweet of the Week. Moving on.
King Kins lives in Arizona. It's as bad as overseas. Well, you're the one who chooses to live there. Anyway. Lindsay, ready for the spectacular?
I'm ready for the spectacular. Do we have music and stuffs?
No, we're just doing that. We have a graphic. It's on the screen.
Wait, so you do all these specials, you know, the 10th anniversary of WTR, the 50 billionth episode of CB Radio, but, you know, for our WrestleMania Spectacular, we just get a graphic? That's all we get? We don't even get a fancy bumper or anything?
Fine, you want fancy music? Well, we came back with WrestleMania music. We came back with Legacy. What do you want? You want actual fancy WrestleMania music?
I want a fancy intro. I want a fancy schmancy intro.
Well, what do you want from me? Fine. Here's your fancy fancy dancy intro. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for Lindsay Ward and Sir Rocket to present to you the WrestleMania Spectacular.
Happy? The whole show was with the spectacular.
quit. Done. You know, I'm just gonna sit here and let you talk.
And, you know, King Kittens does make a valid point. You are just the producer. I mean, what else do you actually do? We expect quality here.
Like I said, I'm just going to sit here quiet.
No, you can't be quiet. You have to talk.
No, I'm just the producer. Everyone else says I just should be the silent producer, so, you know.
I didn't say you should be silent. Hi, Bray. Hi, honey. Anyway.
Yes, Kinkins, I am plotting your demise. Hey, what do you want from me? I thought about doing a 7-minute intro and it's like, no. Been too long. We got a lot to get into.
I was expecting more than that. I mean, my God, you go all out. We didn't even, you know what? By the way, we didn't even recognize it, but we also had a 2-year anniversary and we've done over 100 episodes.
Hey, we knew about it. We knew about it, but we forgot.
Both we completely forgot, yeah, but we didn't even recognize it. So, yeah, so anybody out there, this is kind of the official 2-year anniversary show, even it was kind of a month ago.
2 months.
Or actually 2 months ago. And we also at some point did 100 episodes. I'm not sure when.
About 2 months ago.
All that happened.
Like, we had this whole idea. Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Big show. But then we said, let's do something for special episode 103. And I think we mentioned it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. Either way.
I think we might have mentioned it in passing, but it's something of,
Yeah. Hey, it's a spectacular because me and you are talking WrestleMania. That's all people need. They don't need fancy bumpers. They don't need fancy intros. They got WrestleMania music. Deal with it.
He's such a slacker. Anyway, moving on to talk about the exciting Hall of Fame, including the 1-hour red carpet premiere where we get to see everybody arriving and, of course, the actual ceremony, both of which are airing on the WWE Network live on Saturday evening. The red carpet is at 6, and then the Hall of Fame begins at 7. So guess what, King Kittens? We're going to be watching the Hall of Fame while we're playing cards.
Well, yeah. Here we are. So it starts at... You should make mention of what time that... That starts 6 Mountain... 7 Mountain for the Hall of Fame, and it's 9 Eastern, for the Hall of Fame, actual Hall of Fame.
Sorry. I forget. 2-hour time difference. Time zones.
Yeah, yay. So as we're playing cards, we'll probably be into the second hour of the WWE Hall of Fame, which is going to be kind of awesome.
So you get to hear potentially my live reaction to Paul Bearer's induction, whoever does it, which I hope to God Taker is involved.
All right, let's go through the Hall of Fame and I'll tell you what I've heard.
Okay. So go through it.
Oh, like you throw it at me. I like that. Oh, why not host? I'm just a producer, apparently. No, I'm not going to host the Hall of Fame segment. All right, anyway. So in this year's Hall of Fame class has, it's a very unique class, if you think about it, because people going in are Carlos Colon, who will probably be inducted by Carlito and Primo?
Yeah.
I believe that's the rumor going around. Also in the class, we have Jake the Snake Roberts, who is going to be inducted by Diamond Dallas Page. You have... the bad guy, Rizzo Ramon, who right now it's up in the air, but most likely the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. Possibly. Inducting Razor.
Which would be cool.
Because they're focusing in on Razor. If there's one guy that signifies Razor, that's Mr. Ladder Match, Shawn Michaels. Then you have, as we mentioned last week, Lita going in, being inducted by Trish. And then there's the Ultimate Warrior, who will be inducted by, of all people, Linda McMahon. It's Warrior. You should expect nothing less. And then you have Paul Bearer, who supposedly will be inducted by his children.
Okay.
That's the latest going around. It's not confirmed, but that's the latest talk, that his children will be the one inducting him into the Hall of Fame. Which is cool.
And which also, is cool.
And also Mr. T is going in and will probably be inducted by Hulk Hogan. What do you think of this class overall?
It's a very, as you said, it's a very eclectic class. It's, you have some big names, but they are obviously big names of the past.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go with really a lot of recent names, which is, again, interesting. And we've kind of mentioned this before, where it almost seems like the inductors, in some cases, are bigger names than the inductees. And that's really where you're getting your star power from, is the inductors.
Right.
For this year, as opposed to the people actually going in. And that's not to say anything bad about anybody going in, because they all deserve it. 100%. They all deserve to go in and be in. But it's just, it's something of, there's no real major headliner. Like, in the past, there has always been that one really, really huge name, and then there's the rest of the field that they sort of fill out with anywhere from minor to major names.
Right.
But there's always that one spotlighted headliner, like last year with Bruno Sammartino. This year, you don't really have that.
This goes back to the year of the Ted DiBiase year when he was the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of that stage of a class. But don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of guys who could be headliners, like Warrior. That's a big to-do, and for his time period, he was the big to-do, but he was not someone who changed the landscape of pro wrestling as the headliner. But
no.
he's a good headliner. You have a nice group of main event players. You don't have the headliner, the guy who transformed the business, but you have enough headliners in this class. Which makes it a really good class. There's no drop off. That's the best way to put it.
There's no drop off, but I don't think it's as prestigious as last year. But last year would be very difficult to top.
Right, you had Foley, Trish, you had the Donald. you had a bunch of people last year that really made up a class. Bruno as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a very eclectic class, it's a deserved class. It's kind of sort of a hodgepodge, and it's something of, we need names, and it's just, it's, again, like I said, it's eclectic, and it's an interesting group of names. And Warrior is, of course, a big deal because, well, we all know Warrior's past with the WWE. It's not always been a good one. They've taken shots at each other, and now that he's back in their good graces, and they're back in his, he's going into the Hall of Fame.
And has a DVD out right now to, well, make up for the 2006 DVD.
That was basically one gigantic FU by the WWE.
Yes.
And the other one, of course, is Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, whatever you want to call him, because, and that was a genuine surprise for me, because it's like, I didn't think that they were going to go to 7. I thought they were going to stay at 6. But it's like, nope, they're going to do 7, and he's going to go in, and it's something of, I honestly didn't think Hall would go in while he was still alive.
No, because there was a period there where many weren't sure of whether he would be alive or dead at this point. I remember getting direct messages on Twitter from his ex-wife. Yeah, that happened.
Oh, hell, I knew people basically forming pools to guess when it was going to happen. So it's an absolute amazing turnaround for Scott Hall, and it will be a pleasure to watch him to go into the Hall of Fame and take his place.
Mm-hmm. Without question. Have you seen the rings?
Yes, I have seen the rings. They're very nice.
Very nice. And inside Scott, Razor Ramones is Scott Hall, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors has a lot in it. It has the logo, his name, and Forever Ultimate in it as well. They put a lot into it. Paul Bearer is just Paul Bearer. Warrior has like 3 different things in it. It's funny.
Well, I think it kind of depends on what they really wanted, because, in Paul Bearer's case, he's really he's not going to see it. You know, it's something of it's really more for his family and his sons.
Oh, I know.
So it's just, it's really all it is. And if you look at the rest of them, it's like I'm flipping through them now. They're all really just very simple. They all just have their names in them. And then Warrior is Warrior.
Right.
You know, he's the standout. But yeah, so it's just, it's very simple. They're very classy looking. And I'm just, again, it's like I said, I'm interested to hear the speeches. I'm interested to hear what people have to say. And because it's always a good time when the Hall of Fame rolls around, because you get to hear stories and that the like that you don't normally get to hear.
Oh, I love story time, and Hall of Fame is the best time for story time, and that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Is there any one person in particular that you're looking forward to?
Easy. It's Warrior, because you have no idea what the hell he's going to say. Warrior and Razor. I'm kind of very interested in Razor, because I grew up a big time Razor Ramon fan, because that's when I got into wrestling, was the, you know, 93-94, when Razor Ramon was on the rise. So I'm very interested to see, hear the speech from Razor, but I think everyone, and that will be live on the air for the Ultimate Warrior induction. So if you want to hear it, tune in Saturday night, because the stream will be active as we play cards against Mandy and make fun of Kinkins.
Yeah, it's a good time. But yeah, and also we should note that when the full Hall of Fame is airing on the network, the version that will air on USA is going to feature Lita, Warrior, and Jake, I believe.
I think.
I know Lita is on it for sure.
I know Warrior is on it for sure.
So it's either Hall or Jake, but I think it's Jake.
Probably Jake. But you'll get highlights of everyone else. It's all highlights, but you'll get highlights of everybody. But the featured highlights will be of the story.
But yeah, I will say this: if Bear's kids are inducting him, which I have no qualm with that at all, they absolutely deserve to do that. I would at least like to see a crowd shot of Taker and Kane, preferably of them together.
Right.
Like, I would actually like to see Taker in the crowd this year as Bearer is inducted, because I think he should at least be visible.
Yes, he should.
Because, you know, it's kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal, yes it is. Alright, so that's Hall of Fame. Let's get into, you want to do Question of the Night first? Or do you want to do Hall of Fame? Not WrestleMania in general.
Let's do the Question of the Night first, and then we'll just get into WrestleMania, because there's a lot to talk about with WrestleMania.
There is. So the Question of the Night, and we want your response right now in the chat room, so interact with us right now, is what is your favorite WrestleMania set? We've got the likes of from 19. Some people liked WrestleMania 10. We had a 25 thrown in there. We had a WrestleMania 20 thrown in there. So, and we've seen a preview. We should mention tomorrow on WWE's Twitter and social media places, they will be releasing probably a video like they did last year with Vince McMahon. Here's the set for WrestleMania 30. From the pictures we've seen, a couple of them so far, it's going to be nice. Set's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
But getting into the sets, what's your favorite?
I'm really partial to 25. I've always really liked it. You know, it's something of when we were watching the succession of 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29 together. I've always really liked 25. I don't know why. It's the color scheme probably, and just the simplicity of it, and how the logo was really featured, but I like how they did all that. I'm also really partial to 27, just because, one, I was there, but I think it was a really cool and unique set that they did with 27. Mm-hmm. That had just a great look to it.
We should mention Kinkin just posted he liked WrestleMania 9, the outdoor and Caesar's Palace set.
That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then also, I thought last year's set was pretty sick.
I liked last year's. I liked 28 as well. 28 was cool. The palm trees and everyone in their everyone who hates the palm trees, it's funny. Including Will. Because, you know, you got stuck behind looking at them. But the actual set for the palm trees on the stage was a really nice. They had a really nice setup for it. Again, I'm with you. You said we watched a lot of WrestleManias, and I've watched a lot of WrestleMania stuff. I think I'm going to watch one more before the weekend's over, before we actually go through the before the marathon on Sunday. The only one I want to see, I haven't seen yet, I want to watch is 24 again. Not for a set, just because it's a cool WrestleMania. But WrestleMania 25, you said, it had a nice, really, really nice blue and silver and white look to it. The stars popped. Everything just sort of popped on that set. And that was my favorite. Like, you can go, like, for a while it was just a plain set, and, you know, classic is always cool. Like, I know why the person liked number 10, because it was an X right on the splitting doors. Which is, it was simple and whatever, but yeah, you can tell they've put money into sets over the years, and, you know, things have started to, you know, become grander. Yeah. So, 25 for me.
Yeah, 25 was just a really, again, I don't know why, but I just really like the simplicity of the 25 set. And also, it was one of those really first massive sets that they did.
Right.
Where in the modern era, because you've just seen the sets go from very simple to they started scaling them up. And 25, the set was just enormous. And I think that's the same thing for 27. Like, you don't get an appreciation for the scale of how big their sets are until you actually see them in person. And I just remember walking in for 27 and seeing the set, and it was like, holy crap, that's huge. Because it took up the whole back half of the back part of the dome. And it was several stories high. I mean, it was huge.
Right.
So it's, you have an appreciation for just how the design was done of that and how they engineered it and how they did everything. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, honestly, they could just hang a WrestleMania sign, have a screen, and be done. But they don't do that.
No. No, they don't. They go all out, and this year is going to be... The color is going to pop on the screen.
Yeah. I'm really, really, really eager to see how they do the set, how they do the entrances, all that stuff.
All right. We waited long enough. Let's do it. Let's get into WrestleMania.
Well, fine. Just kill the conversation.
What? I want to get into WrestleMania. I've been waiting all night to talk about it. Let's get into WrestleMania.
All right, well, fine. Let's get into WrestleMania. So, well, we got to start with the pre-show. Tag match.
The tag match. It's the Usos defending against Los Matadores, Ryback Soul, and the Real Americans. This one's interesting. Since it's on the pre-show, I don't expect a heel team to win. I also don't expect the Real Americans to break up on the pre-show.
No.
But I can see that coming Monday.
Possibly.
Watch for it. I have a feeling we're going to get a... Okay, please, WWE, if you're listening, because I know you are. Since this is WrestleMania and this is the pre-show, there will be no cruelty put upon you if you swing a bull into the crowd. Or at the very least, have Cesaro swing the bull 30 times. If not more. Please make this happen. Please. I want to see the bull be swung by Cesaro.
That's cruel.
Tell me you don't want to see that.
Oh, I totally want to see it. Don't get me wrong. I totally want to see it. I'm not going to plead for it, though.
Please, WWE. Please. Please. I want to see the bull get swung.
We can has, yes.
Can we has, please? Please. Apparently, we're sick people. Well, you know what? So are you.
Is this your first time listening to the show?
Yeah, no. Anyway, so... I expect this to be a really fun match. You got eight, all right. You got six people who can really go. Then you have Ryback. Sorry, Kurt. I'll change it. Seven people and then Ryback. Usos retain the tag team titles. Because I can't see Ryback, so nor the Real Americans winning. I'm going with the Usos to retain the belts.
I would agree with you on that. I think it's not time to take the belts off the Usos, plus they have an outstanding feud with the Outlaws. So the Outlaws still need to get their shot back. So
possibly.
I can see it be the Usos.
Possibly. So we'll see what happens there.
Up next, speaking of the Outlaws, we are going to see Kane and the New Age Outlaws representing the Authority taking on the Shield. Good God, this is going to be a good match.
This is going to be a good match. All right, can we talk about Kane wearing Authority polos around now? That's a thing now.
Well, he's got to be corporate. He's got to represent.
I know. It's just funny seeing the Authority symbol on a polo shirt, and he's wearing around Access. It's tremendous. All right, getting into this match. We've seen the build-up where the Shield sort of turned their back on the Authority, and more importantly, Kane, a couple weeks ago when they wanted them to attack Jerry the King Lawler, laid out Kane. So Kane's been looking for revenge ever since. And to get his revenge, he found some old pals in the New Age Outlaws. So, you have the corporate Outlaws now, teaming with corporate Kane against the Shield. And as they brought up on WrestleMania today, earlier, which is an interesting point, last year at this time, as we watched last Sunday, the Shield took on Randy Orton, current WWE Champion right now, Sheamus, and Big Show. And the Shield won. Means they're 1-0 at WrestleMania. They're a dominant team together. And coming into this one, you know, there's, for months it's been, will the Shield break up? Are they going to break up? When are they going to break up? They're not breaking up anytime soon.
No.
Newsflash, it's not happening.
They're not prepared to break them up anytime soon.
They got a babyface running in them, and if the promo package, the interview promo package, whatever you want to call it today, they are babyfaces now. It is clear. They are on the side of good, not evil.
And Dean is so awkward, it's adorable.
It is tremendous. I've liked this build.
I like that you're having, and I've said this before on the show, that you're having the Shield kind of go back to being more about themselves, about being a unit again, and concentrating less on the individual personalities, because obviously there for a while you had to build all three of them, you had to establish them as individuals, and now as we kind of know them as individuals, you can go back to focusing on them as a unit again, which is what they were originally, and there for a while, it's like they kind of got lost a little bit in the fray because they became the Authority's henchmen, which is honestly, that was a good move.
Right.
Because it kept the Shield relevant, it kept them in a position of power. You know, honestly, it's the Shield who's going to mess with them. Obviously, Hunter and Steph have the money to buy whoever they want, mm-hmm. and have them on their in their corner.
Right.
And it's something of the Shield are technically in Hunter and Steph's corner because, well, they're the ones paying writing the bills and paying the checks. But they're not so loyal to Kane.
No.
You know, clearly the Shield only answer to who gives them the money, and they don't answer to the likes of Kane, who is the director of operations. And that's where we've seen the Shield and Kane butting heads constantly about who's really in charge.
Right.
And we've seen a nice expansion of Kane's role as the director of operations. We've seen his power expand. We can see what he's capable of in this role.
Correct.
Which has led to this really nice build between Kane and the Shield, leading to this match at WrestleMania, and Kane calls on the two people he knows he can call on that aren't going to screw him, which are the New Age Outlaws. Because they're Hunter's boys.
Correct.
And if they screw Kane, well, then they technically screw Hunter.
That's fun and interesting. The Outlaws turn to the side of evil by helping the Shield win, and now at WrestleMania, they're the ones fighting the Shield. It's funny. It's funny how that's all turned around.
It's kind of interesting how they've told the story.
Yeah, so I'm liking it. They've done a good job with this story. Some people may say, oh, it's thrown together last minute. No, as we said last week, the Outlaws asked for this.
Yeah, the Outlaws and I think Kane as well.
You got three up-and-coming guys against three veterans of the business. Perfect combination, especially for a 30th anniversary show like this one.
Yeah, and it's going to do wonders for someone like Roman Reigns in particular, who really doesn't have a lot of big match experience, because this is a fairly big match. I mean, last year their match was just kind of eh. And they've had big matches, but nothing really huge. So this, again, this will help him get more experience. Same with Rollins and Ambrose. But to have him in the ring with someone like Kane, like the Outlaws, that will really help him.
Correct. Now, I have a question for you before we actually get into the prediction of the match. What are the odds, because last year we saw Dean shirtless, what are the odds this year Dean becomes shirtless? Will make it 2-for-2 at WrestleMania?
You know, somehow I doubt it. It's something of, well, no, because Kane and the Outlaws don't wrestle that kind of style, or something a Big Show likes to do that. He likes to do the chops and expose the chest and that kind of thing, and Kane and the Outlaws aren't necessarily known for doing that. So, no, I say Dean keeps his shirt this year.
To disappointment of many people.
I know. But who you got in this match? Who you think is going to win?
Believe in the Shield.
Yeah, again, I gotta agree. The Shield are on a roll. They win. I don't see this really going beyond WrestleMania. They might do something in Extreme Rules, but I doubt it. But yeah, I see the Shield winning. And whether it's clean or not, I don't know.
Correct.
I kind of expect a few shenanigans in this match, because it's just based on who's in it. But yeah, I at least expect the Shield to win, even if it's by DQ.
I expect to see Billy Gunn take a spear and Roman Reigns gets the win.
Actually, I can see Kane taking the spear.
We disagree on something.
Hey, how about that?
How about that? On the finish. Anyway, next match.
Next match is going to be, honestly, the cluster of the evening, where you have AJ Lee versus the entire Divas division for the WWE Divas title.
AJ Lee versus the world, as she's calling it. All right, so you got AJ Lee defending against Naomi, Cameron, Emma, Natty, Summer Rae, Oksana, Alicia Fox, Eva Marie Kingkin's choice to win because she's his girl. The Bella Twins. What else am I missing?
You have the Funkadactyls. You have the Bella Twins. You have Eva. You have Summer. You have Natty, Layla, Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendez, Tamina, Oksana, and Emma.
I missed Layla, Tamina, and Layla, Tamina, and someone else. Alicia Fox, maybe. So there. See, you talk smack, and then, you know, you can't take it. Anyway. The rules for the Vicky Guerrero Divas Invitational, Championship Invitational.
Wait, there are actual rules?
One fall to a finish. That's it. One fall to a finish. It's the only rule. So it's going to be a cluster of all clusters. For weeks, I've been wondering, will AJ Lee lose the title? Will AJ Lee lose the title? Many thought Naomi was going to win it, because there was going to be singles. Like, there's a part of me that thinks AJ could retain just because it's babyface heavy on this show. And it would be a shock for her to survive the world. But for 280-plus days, whatever it's going to be at WrestleMania, 290, whatever, I have a feeling she loses. But I... you go ahead. I'll finish up after you're done.
You know, honestly, I think she's going to win. I think AJ is going to retain. I don't know why, and I'm sure I'm very wrong, But it's just the way that they've been booking it the last couple weeks, because it is such a cluster, because there are no real defined rules. The natural order of things are going to break down very, very, very quickly. And friends are going to turn into enemies, and it's something of everybody's going to go for it. And I can kind of see AJ sort of just, she gets her licks in the first couple minutes of the match, and then she sort of hides out. And I can see AJ waiting for everybody to take everybody else out, and then she sneaks in and she grabs the victory. Because it's just something I can see them doing, that really shocking moment, because everybody expects AJ to lose. But it's something, if you look at the batch of girls who are in this match, and there's some who are deserving and there's some who aren't. But it's like, if you're going to give somebody a WrestleMania moment, you don't do it like this. Like, I would love to see Naomi win the title. I would love to see Brie Bella win the title. Never thought I'd ever say that. But I would love to see somebody win the title, especially pretty much Naomi, because I think she deserves it. But I don't want to see her win it like this. I would love to see her go one-on-one with AJ in a match and defeat AJ one-on-one clean. This is just, there's too many variables in this for this to turn out well. So honestly, at least to me, the way I kind of see it is I see AJ retaining. I see her getting out of it. She finds a way out. And whether that's with the help of Tamina, whether that's on her own, I don't know. But I can see AJ escaping it and probably losing the title on Raw.
You know what's funny? I was throwing it out there as a joke. Eva Marie could actually... You want shocking? Eva Marie, someone gets taken down and Eva falls on top of somebody and could win the Divas Championship. It is very, very possible.
Oh, it's extremely possible.
I don't want to see it, but it's extremely possible. The only reason I say AJ is going to lose, because it's going to tie into Total Divas.
You're right. It is going to tie into Total Divas, but it's something of they're going to run the storyline possibly of they all bicker and they all fight over who's going to win, and then they all screw themselves. And then you have whoever the number one contender is going to be at that point go in and face AJ, possibly even at Extreme Rules.
Correct. That being said, I'm picking Nikki Bella to walk out as Divas Champion.
I'm going with AJ retains. I don't know why. I just have this feeling, and I'm sure it's wrong. But I have a feeling AJ retains. She figures a way to keep her title, at least for one more night.
I could see that, where AJ sneaks out a win, and then, you know, who we talked about earlier, Paige, shows up on Raw, and boom, there's your instant feud.
Well, I think Paige would have to lose the women's title in NXT first.
Well, they can do that at some point, you know. You can also have, you know, AJ come down to NXT and cost Paige the title, and then more drama. See? It could work. But I'm going Nikki.
Fair enough. And now moving on, because I'm saving Bray and Cena for as long as I can, we're going to talk about Hunter and Brian.
I'll let you start on this one.
This is the fine, we're going to give you what you want match, obviously. You know, this is also the Brian taking Punk's place match. So.
No, you're wrong. This is the start of the Triple H movement.
Yes, your Triple H movement. This is the Triple H movement and the Authority versus the Yes movement, where we've seen Triple H since SummerSlam do everything he possibly can to stop Daniel Bryan, and he has not been able to do it, and it has led to the point that Triple H is going to step in the ring himself with Daniel Bryan to kill this Yes movement once and for all. And I like the story that they've told with this. I like how they built it up. This was obviously going to be the natural conclusion at some point for Daniel Bryan, whether it was going to actually happen at WrestleMania, whether it was supposed to happen at Rumble. I don't know.
This could have been
when it was actually supposed to happen.
This could have happened at SummerSlam coming up this year. Could have been a full year of the Authority keeping him down. It's not the case. This is the natural conclusion to what should have been built up and has been built up, and everybody's complaining about. Everybody has had an opinion one way or another on this match. And a lot of them have been complaining over and over and over again since September. Why isn't Daniel Bryan the world the WWE champion? Why does he keep getting screwed? When is he going to get his... I love the argument. When is he going to get his fair opportunity? When is he going to get his fair opportunity? Well, at WrestleMania, he gets to earn that opportunity.
Yeah, this is pretty much if they've been telling the story of really how much can you take. It's you see the abuse of corporate power. You see, you know, you saw that in the beating with Hunter, where Hunter brings in the quote-unquote police and uses the police as the pawns to arrest Daniel Bryan, only to come to find out that they're not actual real police.
Right. And I've been only half joking about this Triple H movement. Part of me really wants to see Triple H beat Daniel Bryan and then go into the main event and win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, just because it would generate so much reaction and so much heat that you have another few months of a story to tell. That being said, I think everyone's going to get what they want come WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, honestly, I want Daniel Bryan to win just so everybody will finally shut the hell up. Like, it's to this point where I've really enjoyed this storyline. I like the story they've told with Bryan. I like how Bryan, you know, has been forced to overcome the odds time and time again, which is something we all have to do in our own lives. I like how you sidetracked him with the Wyatts, even if you kind of sort of bastardized it a little bit and sort of flubbed it when you realized, oh, hey, he's getting really popular. Maybe we shouldn't stick him with Bray Wyatt right now.
Right.
But we still got some really fantastic matches out of that. But I like I said, I've liked how they've done this. I've liked how they've told this whole story that it started at SummerSlam, was going to potentially end, at least with him getting the title probably, at WrestleMania. You know, that being said, I can see also the heat that would generate from Triple H winning, and everybody would just instantly revolt against it. And then that sets up something for, well, then you need that basically says Daniel Bryan needs someone in his corner. He needs somebody to stand behind him, and that sets up something for Vince to show up.
CM Punk! CM Punk! CM Punk! CM Punk! Wait, no.
No. Not Punk. No Punk.
No.
Punk is no comeback.
No. Please. Alright. I was in a debate with some people on groups on Facebook, where it's basically, CM Punk needs to come back and help Daniel Bryan beat Triple H. No. No, no, no. That is not going to happen. That should not happen. That should not happen. Hell, we'll have Daniel Bryan say it. Come on, Daniel. Say it.
No! No! No!
Doesn't need to happen. CM Punk should stay far, far away from anything involving Daniel Bryan. Because if you put CM Punk into it, you're going to put the focus on Punk, not Daniel Bryan. That's my piece on that. So.
And I would agree with that 100%. It's something if Punk doesn't... You know what? Punk walked out. Punk, honestly, to me, doesn't need to be involved. He doesn't really, in some cases, I'm going to get flack for this, deserve to be involved. Because he walked out.
He walked out on the company. Yes. So, the Yes Movement that takes down the Triple H movement. Daniel Bryan beats Triple H. And I'm going to throw the prediction now, because why not? Daniel Bryan walks out the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Spoilers?
Well, the two matches are connected, so.
Well, then, fine. Talk about the World Heavyweight Championship match.
You're going to pick the other match first?
Oh, Bryan.
So we have Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Batista. Randy Orton has had the title since October, beating Daniel Bryan in Hell in a Cell. Many people predicted, oh, let's do Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan one more time, WrestleMania. No, Singles match, you've done it so many times, it's not a WrestleMania match. It's not really even a pay-per-view match at this point, since you've done it so many times. You've kind of worn that match out. Good matches, fine. Dave Bautista won the Royal Rumble. People crapped on it. Why? I don't know. Every time someone comes back, it's like, let's crap on it because we can. I know you're a butthurt about Daniel Bryan not being in the Royal Rumble. Newsflash, he was not in the Royal Rumble, so stop thinking he was, and that someone took his spot. Bautista didn't. So they turned Bautista heel because they figured, well, why not? And, well, because of his attitude, he makes a great heel. And if you haven't seen the press conference on WWE Network, go find it on the WWE Network. Buy the WWE Network to find it. Because he does an imitation of Bautista, and he talks about how his skinny jeans have a Twitter. Yes, they have a Twitter. I haven't found it, but they have Twitter. That being said, they have sort of built this in, okay, if Daniel Bryan gets into this matchup, well, it's sort of a handicap match in a way, because you have the two heels trying to work together to keep Daniel Bryan away from the title. Though Bautista sort of doesn't like Randy Orton as much, and, well, wants to walk out champion. In a dream world, the idea was for Bautista to leave WrestleMania as your WWE World Heavyweight Champion. The dream is ended. It's not happening. I'm going Daniel Bryan, like I said before. But this is they've done a nice build to it. When they added Triple H and Daniel Bryan and put all four people together, you've told a really good double main event story right there.
I would agree with that, 100%. I think a lot of people honestly crapped all over it, not because Daniel Bryan was in the Rumble, but because CM Punk lost.
No, it was Daniel Bryan. It was Daniel Bryan. It wasn't CM Punk, it was Daniel Bryan.
But I saw a lot of Punk, too. I saw a lot of people complaining that Punk got screwed in the Rumble, that Punk deserved to win the Rumble. And at that point, yes, Punk did deserve to win a Rumble. Now, I'm not so sure, but Punk did deserve to. But it's like everybody's acting like Bautista just walked in off the street. And it's like, dude's earned the right to win the Rumble.
And if he came back and won as a surprise, and no one would have, there would have been less complaint, because it would have been a shocking moment, and they blew their own moment by promoting him.
Yeah, and it's basically the point of Bautista winning the Rumble is you really have 2 months to build him and to a match at Mania, and it's something of the easiest and the cleanest way to get him into the title match at WrestleMania, which was always the intent. That's why he came back. What was to have him win the Rumble, so they made a good call on that. You know, I think a lot of people, one, forget that Daniel Bryan gave you a absolutely fantastic match to open the Royal Rumble against Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Like, everybody seems to have forgotten that he did that, and then it's like the expectation for him to be in the Rumble after he told you, I'm not going to be in the Rumble, was a little ridiculous.
Right, and as we've seen with Bautista, he's gotten better. Every week he's got his legs back under him a lot better than he was 6 weeks ago. So, that's a good sign. I expect good things out of this match. Good story being told. But Daniel Bryan walks out WWE Champion.
Yeah, I think it's something of, and Daniel Bryan will do a lot to help Bautista along, as will Randy Orton, because Randy and Daniel can kind of help lead Bautista through. Mm-hmm. Not that he needs much leading, but they can just kind of be there, because Bryan will be the bump monkey. He'll be the one that'll get smacked around quite a bit before things break down between Bautista and Randy. And I fully expect Hunter to get involved in this. 100%. Fully expect Hunter to get involved, try to screw Daniel Bryan. Expect Stephanie to do something as well. I expect massive amounts of shenanigans.
Love to see the moment at WrestleMania where Stephanie tries to get involved in something. Whether it's the Daniel Bryan Triple H match or the title match, and you have Brie Bella come down and slap the crap out of Steph.
That would be awesome.
So.
That would be absolutely awesome, and we may see it. But yeah, you know, I'm kind of with Rock on this. If Daniel Bryan goes into the title match, I can really honestly see them going ahead and giving everybody what they want to shut them up, which is Daniel Bryan as your World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. And you have the ultimate WrestleMania moment where he really redeems himself after the 18-second loss a few years ago. And it's something of, they have irrefutable evidence that he is champion. He didn't cheat. He didn't use the nefarious means. They have no way to strip him of the title, because then that also could continue the Triple H feud to Extreme Rules, where it's something of, well, their plan backfired. Orton didn't deliver. Batista didn't deliver. So damn it, Hunter's going to take matters into his own hands, and he's going to face Bryan at Extreme Rules to get the title off of him, because that's all they can do.
Right. So that's the title match. What's next?
Well, we might as well talk about it, because, well,
no,
you gotta save tape.
No. Let's save the one you want to talk about for last.
All right. Well, then, Taker Brock.
I was going to say the Battle Royal. All right, we'll do Taker Brock.
Oh, right, the Battle Royal. I completely forgot about the Battle Royal.
The Andre... Let's do the Battle Royal. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the mouthful. The idea gave to us by Hulk Hogan. The winner will be carrying around a statue of Andre the Giant for a year, apparently. Or until they get tired of carrying it around. Either way. By the way, there's a Bruno Sammartino statue that Tim thought was chocolate with hair on it. No, there's a nice Bruno Sammartino statue that's probably going to be in the offices. It's nice, and it has his chest hair on it, too, so it looks
kind of... it's not going in the offices. It's going in Triple H's house. I'm kind of convinced of this.
Maybe it'll probably be in Triple H's office.
Probably.
So, anyway. So, the Andre the Giant Memorial, they've done a good job building it up. They really have. Everyone, they're getting everyone on the show. Everyone's going to get an opportunity. I'm just going to... I don't know. I don't even know who can win this one. It's not going to be Big Show. It could be Sheamus. It's not going to be Brad Maddox.
I can see them giving it to someone like Big E or someone like Kofi.
Because I got no one else. I'm going to Miz. Take that. Miz wins.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a good job of building this. It's something of, again, it's going to be a nice filler match where you're just kind of like, eh.
I have a feeling it's going to be really good. I think there's going to be a lot of low expectations. I think it's going to deliver high expectations.
Oh, probably. I wouldn't doubt that.
But the reason I'm saying The Miz is because of the statue. And if you really want to be cocky about something, The Miz carrying around an Andre the Giant statue for a while, that could be cool.
That could be cool.
So I'm going Miz.
You know what? I'm going to go with Big E.
Okay.
It's something of, you kind of need to give him something else. He is the Intercontinental Champion, but you need to give him something else. So honestly, I can see it being Big E. Especially since he's one of your... They're doing a lot with him as far as WrestleMania is concerned, so...
Yeah, they did a nice little special on him on the WrestleMania today. Fantastic. Him wandering around New Orleans, getting a palm reading and eating stuff, yeah.
Beignets.
There you go. You can expect probably a couple surprises, because there's three open spots, so... You know,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mr. could show up as well.
Who?
Mr. Harvey.
Oh. Yeah, that guy.
I was trying not to spoil it, you know.
Well, he could show up, and he may not. It's just something of, you never know. But, you know, also, Rowan and Harper could get thrown in this match, because so far they're not doing anything but walking out with Bray.
This is true. Alright, so that's the Battle Royal. now, Taker and Brock Lesnar. I've liked the build. I really like the build. It's better than last year's build because, well, last year we really didn't get anything. And it's been more... I wanted to see a little bit more physicality, but as everyone knows, they really don't go physical with Taker in his build-ups. But I liked the stuff with the Druids a couple weeks ago. I believe you did as well. that was a throw to you.
Oh, sorry. I took a really big drink of water, so stall for a minute.
So you have you have the bill with that. Taker's cut some promos. Kind of an odd one on Monday, but that's Taker, Death, Taxes, and The Streak Never Die. Can't beat it. It's a guarantee. Spoiler alert. Paul Heyman has done a fantastic job. The segment on Main Event was really cool, where Taker showed up and just, you know, made Heyman a scary little bitch. It was tremendous. The one thing they haven't done overly well, haven't made Brock look like a legit threat. On Monday they did, but sort of Taker's had his number. It's odd they don't have a stipulation in this one, and they could throw one in last minute, but I doubt it. It might be sort of the same long lines of, we may get a ref bump, and then that's where all the shenanigans happen. Lindsay's not looking forward to the actual match, but I know she enjoyed the build-up.
Yeah. I mean, I like the build. It's, again, and I'm just going to, because I've said this before and I'll say it again, I am not a fan of you start the build with them signing the match. I'm not a fan of that. I've never liked it because it feels like it should build to the point where, damn it, we can't settle this any other way other than we're going to fight.
Right. But it did start with a stabbing with a pen, which was kind of awesome.
It did start with a stabbing, so, you know, there is that. But it's just, to me, it's like it takes some of the anticipation out of it because the match is already made. Now, that being said, Paul Heyman has earned his weight in gold at this point because he's been doing the majority of the talking and really the selling of the match. So it's like, you know, Paul Heyman is just, he's perfect in this. He's doing exactly what he needs to do for Brock, which is, you know, I think he actually makes Brock look more like a legit badass without Brock having to look like a legit badass. Because it's Brock.
It's Brock. Brock can beat up anyone. He's the beast incarnate.
I honestly like, I really liked that we've gotten more Taker this time. I understand last year there were exigent circumstances surrounding that whole build, and I know Taker wasn't failing it. If you go back and you watch it, you can tell Taker throughout the entire build, really up until about the last week,
right,
wasn't feeling it. This year he's feeling it. This is a match that he's really wanted. You can tell he really wants it. And so he's been putting as much into it as he can. And I like that you've had Taker having Brock's number, where you actually had The Undertaker challenge somebody. Not the other way around. Not Brock walked out and demanded to face Taker for the streak, but Taker walked out and said, oh, you want a challenge? Fine. You have me.
Exactly.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No, continue.
So I've liked all of that. I've liked the ability. It's just, and again, you said, I'm not looking forward to the match. You're damn right I'm not looking forward to the match, because I am definitely afraid that Brock is going to rip Taker's arm off and just beat him over the head with it.
She's been saying this for 3 years.
I have been saying this for 3 years. It just scares the crap out of me because I've seen Brock. Brock is not a gentle man. Taker needs someone who's gentle. He's fragile. He breaks easy. So it's, yeah, I am terrified for this match because you know Taker's going to go for it. And he's going to go all out in this one. It's 30. He's facing Brock.
All right, couple things, Taker. Don't dive over the top rope.
Please don't dive over the top rope.
Don't kill yourself. Now the bigger question is, how spectacular of an entrance is he going to have?
Oh, Jesus. I have high expectations for Taker's entrance. I expect lightning and fog and druids and caskets and crystal ball with Paul Bearer's head in it.
If that happens, then please send all royalties to media@wildtalkradio.com.
You know, that being said also, can we lose the ginormous amount of makeup that they seem to want to put on Taker to make him look younger? Like, seriously, he's got more makeup on than Tammy Faye Baker. I'm sorry. When it's clear, it's clearly visible.
Oh, no.
It's clearly visible. Like, I'm sitting here watching the Brock Taker recap from Monday, And you can see the blush from, you know, probably 5 to 10 feet away.
You know why he's wearing so much makeup?
Why?
Vince McMahon is on this whole kick of no tan. Like, they don't want people to, they want people to look natural. Not like really, really orangey tan. Don't ask me why, but that's Vince McMahon's new kick.
Okay, that being said, thou shalt not put makeup on The Undertaker.
There you go.
Because I noticed he was looking more pasty than normal, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with stopping the spray tanning and stopping the fake tans. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem. But it's like when you see him walk out and you can very clearly tell that he's wearing makeup, that kind of kills it just a little bit.
A little bit. We're cool with the eyeliner, but the makeup, it's got to go.
Yeah, when you can clearly see foundation and blush and everything else, yeah, no. No, 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 no. You don't put that kind of stuff on my Undertaker. No.
No. All right, so bottom line, Taker?
Yes.
Same here, Taker wins.
Yeah, it's something of... I know Taker wanted to break the streak to Brock a couple years ago.
Not now.
Not now. Not as close as he is, because he only has a few more left in him. And it's not gonna do anything for Brock to break the streak.
Nope.
And also, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. The streak is money. People will pay to see The Undertaker defend that streak every year, even though we all know he's going to win. We all know that, but we still watch him do it because there's that chance that it could be broken. Because once it's broken, and you can't take it back.
Correct.
So it's like, if you're going to do it, you really need to wait for the right opponent and the right moment. And this might be the right moment, but I don't think this is the right opponent for that.
No,
so,
I have a good idea of who the right opponent could be, though.
Who?
Well, it's a very simple one, you know. It's simply put, the right person is...
What, you think Bray Wyatt could break the streak?
I think Bray Wyatt definitely could break the streak.
I'd like to see him try. I won't lie about that, and you and I have had that conversation in private, where I would love to see Bray Wyatt take on Taker. I think you could get a really cool dynamic going between those two, because it would be neat to see Bray Wyatt get the Undertaker's number.
It would be, but this year he doesn't have the Undertaker. He has John Cena.
Yes. Right. Another man who could potentially break the streak.
Another man who could potentially break the streak. So I'm just going to sit here and let you...
I have loved this build. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I know everybody else has hated it. This is my Taker CM Punk from last year. I love how you've had Bray having Cena's number. I love how you have had Bray get it personal. I loved how they trapped Cena in the ropes and put the sheet mask on him. They did the mirror trick. And then you had Cena get his revenge on Monday night by, you know, sneaking up on Bray Wyatt and, well, in a sheet mask in one of Daniel Bryan's old coveralls.
Clearly it was. It was about a
few sizes too small.
Yeah.
You know, where it's, you have John Cena show up in the coveralls and he attacks the Wyatt family and he attacks Rowan and Harper and he gets to Bray, but Bray gets away.
They've done a tremendous job with this build. It started out a little like this. It started out the Royal Rumble where Bray Wyatt, let's go back in the timeline. There's a rumor in early January, late December, early January, that Bray Wyatt was going to face John Cena at WrestleMania. And everybody, and I mean everyone, was sort of, you know, like,
no!
It's not going to happen. No way. They're never going to do it. So the Royal Rumble comes, and then you hear the Wyatt sounder, and they appear and cost John Cena the WWE Championship. Not once, but twice, as it happened again at the Elimination Chamber. Since that point, the psychological warfare has been on Bray Wyatt's side. He's done everything possible to sort of spread his message. It's been fantastic. The legacy promos that they've been airing, which is the music we came into for this segment, tremendous. They've done a tremendous job with it. John Cena, there was one speed bump, but it was the perfect speed bump because it was John Cena being John Cena and then realizing he can't be John Cena. He has to be someone different to defend his legacy. He can't be fun and games. He's got to be serious. And when you get serious John Cena, business is good. And we got serious John Cena for the last 3 weeks. I'm telling you now, the best promo that happened was the one on WWE.com with Michael Cole. That interview sold the match. And it's a shame they didn't show it all on TV, but they've been telling that story. And they've used part of those clips in this legacy promo. It's the best thing for this feud. I love Bray Wyatt. I've loved everything he's done with this feud. He's done a great job. And this is the match that can make Bray Wyatt. I know it's been said in the past, we can make people with John Cena. This is the one. Because of any, the difference between everyone else and Bray Wyatt can talk. And if you can talk, you can move on from John Cena. Bray Wyatt will at some point. This is the match. This is going to pasa. This won't be match of the night. Daniel Bryan and Triple H will probably be match of the night in terms of quality. This will be really, really, really good.
This will be a candidate.
Oh, without it, be if it's not if it doesn't win match of the night, it'll be 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and this is something of you're right, Bray Wyatt. You can make Bray Wyatt with John Cena mainly not because Bray Wyatt can talk, but because Bray Wyatt has been delivering. He started delivering with Daniel Bryan, and he moved on with the Shield. He delivered with the Shield, and he's been firing on all cylinders with John Cena, and he's just been cutting promo after promo after promo. You've been doing a wonderful job with the Wyatt family one-upping Cena, of beating him down, of basically getting in his head, and having John Cena not be the goofy-go-lucky Cena that he's always been in the past, where you had him start that out, but you have Bray Wyatt shut that down because Bray Wyatt didn't react to it.
The reason I think this is going to be really good is you go off the match with Luke Harper. The match with Luke Harper was really, really good, and it's one of those things where John Cena sold a lot. And in this matchup, John Cena will sell. Bray Wyatt will dominate. John Cena will sell. John Cena will make his comebacks. But there'll be a lot of cutoffs from Bray Wyatt. That's what Bray Wyatt was good with Daniel Bryan. It's going to be that type of match. You're going to have some great spots. I have a really good feeling about this matchup. And I have a really good feeling that if Bray Wyatt wins, it's a start of good things for the rest of the year. That said, even if he loses, good things will happen. But I really, really want to see Bray Wyatt win this match. Really do.
Yeah, it's something if you can look at, and again, it's like I said, it's the way Cena was playing it. The fact that he's admitted he's scared. He doesn't know what Bray Wyatt's agenda is. He doesn't know what's really going on. All he knows is he's under attack. And then you had Cena finally get Bray Wyatt and say, you know what? I don't give a crap what you're doing. I'm going to shove my foot up your ass. So you better be ready for it.
Right.
That was a fantastic promo by John Cena. You know, and I think the best part of this feud is you've made Cena look weak.
Which is hard to do because he doesn't let anything get to him. And then for the first time in a long time, this is actually getting to John Cena.
Yeah, and it's something of this feud has done wonders for Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family because before, it's like with Daniel Bryan, it's like, yeah, you know, they're eccentric, they're crazy, and then with the Shield, yeah, okay, they're kind of badass and that kind of thing, and now with Cena, everybody is looking at them as a legit threat because that's what everybody is, you know, really treating them as, is a legit threat. Suddenly the Wyatt family mean business and suddenly they are someone that could really mess you up. And that being said, I'm with you. I want to see Bray Wyatt win this match. Now, if he's completely dominant in this match and Cena just happens to get lucky and win, I'll accept that. I won't be happy about it, but I'll accept it as long as you have Bray Wyatt coming out looking good. But to me, Bray Wyatt kind of needs to win this match.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt needs to win this match without question. That's my pick. That's Lindsay's pick. That's pretty obvious at this point. Bray Wyatt.
Well,
no, what? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like he needs to win. Part of it, he needs to win clean to really kind of sort of cement him, because that a win will make him. A win will solidify him on the roster as a legit threat to anybody. And it's something of, you can move him up the ranks, you can move him down the ranks, it doesn't matter. He can face anybody once he beats Cena, especially at WrestleMania, and he's fine.
That said, it doesn't end here.
Oh, no. No, and it sets up really Extreme Rules for Cena to come back. And you can give Cena his win back at Extreme Rules. You can do it on a Raw. You can do it whenever. But the important thing is you have Bray Wyatt get the win at WrestleMania. You have Bray Wyatt's strategy work. And he gets into Cena's head, and he really tricks Cena into defeating himself.
Correct.
And then you have Cena, you could have Cena turn around, and you and I have talked about this, where he tries to expose Bray Wyatt, because this is a storyline that if you continue it, you could do a lot to develop the Bray Wyatt character. You could do a lot to develop Luke Harper and Eric Rowan as well.
Yes, you can. You could do a lot of good things, and I expect a lot of good things with this match. I expect this to be really good. I really expect, again, it could be, it's an entire, this could be epic if John Cena were to put over Bray Wyatt. I completely agree.
And one thing about the Legacy promo, since it's airing on my TV right now, they make Bray Wyatt seem like he's been there for 5 years.
Bray Wyatt hasn't been on the roster for not even a year. And he's in a main event match with John Cena.
Yeah.
Big time right there, ladies and gentlemen. Big time. And this is Bray Wyatt's moment to shine. He's in his backyard, kind of. That slow walk to the ring is going to be the slowest walk, and to be like, oh my god, we're main eventing with John Cena. Oh my god.
Yeah, you have to wonder if he's not freaking out a little bit, because he's in a main event of WrestleMania 30. You know, they're in New Orleans, and his face is literally everywhere.
It is. It is legit everywhere. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Now, I have one quick question.
Yes.
What factor do Rowan and Harper play in this?
I can see them trying to interfere and get tossed, leaving it Bray and Cena one-on-one. And that, because they'll have their moments in the match. But if they get tossed, it would be even bigger if Bray overcomes John Cena on his own.
Right. Because we saw that happen with Daniel Bryan, and Bray very soundly beat Daniel Bryan, which is the man that nobody else on that roster can seem to beat, at least without help. So Bray Wyatt did it on his own.
Yes.
And that can play into later if Bryan wins the title, because you could actually move Bray into the title picture if he beats Cena. And you basically wrap up Bray and Bryan, because that never really ever got concluded. So it's something of, you do Bray and Bryan 2.0, except Bray wants Bryan's title or wants something else. He doesn't want Bryan to join the family.
Right. The WWE right now is in desperate need for some top heels, and if you put Bray Wyatt over, you've made a heel, and that's what you want.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. As I sit here and watch him on my TV now. So, on that note, I think we've got everything.
No, we haven't.
What did we miss?
One last thing. Our tiebreaker question.
We have a tiebreaker question?
Yes, we do. This was created by Omega on Sunday.
Oh, God.
How many times will Mr. T say the word fool in his induction speech on Saturday?
20.
I say 2. You say 20?
I say 20.
And just so it's on the record, so I don't have to track down Kane Kennedy tomorrow to tell him, Tim says 5. Well, remember, we came up with the question and Tim wasn't on the show. So
true.
I had to get the answer. So, since we're on the air, I can actually say 5 for Tim. I say 2, Lindsay says 20. So there you go. Now that's our WrestleMania Spectacular.
So I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody's going to enjoy WrestleMania on Sunday. Like we said, check out the WWE Network throughout the week because they're having specials, they're having programming, they're having all sorts of stuff leading up to WrestleMania on Sunday. And remember, it is a 4-hour show with a 2-hour pre-show, so make sure to get lots of snacks. If you don't know how to purchase the WWE Network, go to WWE.com or network.wwe.com. You can also buy it through your local pay-per-view providers, including Dish Network.
Yes, Dish Network is carrying it, yes. And to make it easier, it's WWENetwork.com.
Oh, I go to network.wwe.com.
It takes you to the same place, but I'm just saying the actual domain, they don't promote it, but there is WWENetwork.com.
Okay, fair enough. So, if you're interested in the show, it looks like it's going to be worth the buy. You may want to wait and see if the reviews come out, but at least to me, it looks like it's going to be a really, really, really good show because, well, on top of all the matches that they've booked, we will definitely get surprises, and people from the past, as we know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, are going to pop up. So this could be cool.
I'm gonna leave you with this quote, right? This one comes from Bret the Hitman Hart. He told the CTV News, which is Canadian television, it's going to be more than anyone has ever imagined. I think this might be the best WrestleMania of all time. They're bringing in everyone they can, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be huge. You don't want to be left out. Trust me. You don't want to be left out. Stone Cold's confirmed. They're working on others if you smell what I'm cooking. Okay?
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Not guaranteeing that one, but they're working on it. So, anyone you can possibly think of has been contacted and told, you busy? And we know everyone's in New Orleans this weekend, whether it's for WWE or for other events. So, if you're down in New Orleans, be safe, too.
Yes, be safe, take care. Get a DD, get a taxi,
and
walk
take,
to the show if you can.
And take lots of pictures of Bray Wyatt for Lindsay.
Yes, take lots of pictures of Bray Wyatt for Lindsay. If you happen to be at Access tomorrow, lots and lots and lots of pictures, because he's going to be there.
Yes.
But on that note, we are going to take off for the evening. So, of course, visit our very, very, very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, for all the updates concerning WrestleMania, as well as TNA and all the indie circuits. Also, check out TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA, for exclusive TNA news. And, of course, go to Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. Check out RackRadioShow.com, and, well, go to Atlan's Ward, PsychWardDesigns.com. You can click on my Rebel store under the contact us section. You can go to my Behance, Behance.net/Lynn's Ward. And, of course, check out all the other fine programming on WildTalkRadio.com, which, you know, Rock's about to tell you about.
Yes, check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 2 Episode 3 review, dropping sometime tomorrow afternoon at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday Night Midnight-ish, NCB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, and The Unusual, as we never really promote on air, but we always are on air a couple hours beforehand playing Cards Against Humanity. This week we'll call it Cards Against Hall of Fame, because we'll be watching Hall of Fame and commenting as we play cards, because that's how awesome we are. So tune in around 10-ish. We should be live on the stream and having some funs, because that's what we do, and, well, Kane Kittens curls up into a ball after we're done playing. So check out CB Radio, The Midnight-ish, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. We'll have their WrestleMania preview and picks as well. Facebook.com/CigarButtsAndMendez and Twitter.com/CB Radio WTR. Sunday is WTR Sunday Live, 11 p.m. Eastern, covering WrestleMania. Everyone's going to be there. Everyone is going to be there, including favorite Lindsay Ward. She'll be there. Check it out. 11 p.m. Eastern, we cover WrestleMania. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. The fallout from WrestleMania will happen on Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will cover it all. It's the fallout. It's one of the biggest shows of the year. We'll be on the air live 11:30 p.m. Eastern to cover it all on a Wild Post show. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of the Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow this show on Twitter at WTR_The_Rack. And Facebook.com/WTRTheRack and follow the network, which means me, at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRFs at wildtalkradio.com/WTRFs. Check out WrestleTalkRadio.com. That's in the process of being completely put together. Listen to the programming on TuneIn Radio. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get our archives on iTunes and on Stitcher as well. Just again, search out Wild Talk Radio Network.
So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I will see you on Sunday. We will all see you on Sunday after WrestleMania, where you will get our live reactions to the show. Undoubtedly, it will be an eclectic group of people. Let's put it like that. So, until then, until WrestleMania, everybody have a good week, and we will see you on Sunday. Bye. Girl, let's celebrate. Baby, don't care.